when you start to understand that you can settle this, not by forcing it, but by just being and allowing this to occur for you and starting to listen to the truth of who you are.
Yeah. I'm a spiritual chiropractor.
My friends call me the real life caregiver.
Get talk it out.
Welcome to podcast number
5.
Ding, 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 ding.
5 golden rings.
5 golden rings.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm scrubbing my mic with my beard.
Get some stuff. Podcast number 5. Welcome to Black Sheep Thinking with Morgan Pierce
and Andrew Potvin.
And we are a coaching company that helps people think differently about their lives from a different place, the truth of who you are, so you can radically accept your happiness and get out of suffering, which is in your thinking. And today's topic is coaching.
And what we're afraid to say.
And what we're afraid to say. Yeah.
The thing that we're kind of beating around.
Yeah, the bush.
We talk around it, not to it.
Where that saying came from, beating around the bush. Look it up.
That's good. Yeah, we should look that up. Right now. Get your phone. We're going to look up beating around the bush.
I'm afraid of what's going to pop up at Google.
Careful what you Google, folks.
Origin. Here we go. Medieval times, hunters hired men to beat the area around bushes with sticks in order to flush out game.
Well, that makes sense. All right.
Yeah, okay, cool. On that note, so let's start off talking, because coaching is such, remember we had such a hard time. You've mentioned this in a previous video about how you had a hard time. We all did about my business card says personal development.
Yeah, mine's like life guy. Accepting that term coach. Like Jeff said, it's like a 4-letter word nowadays.
Yeah, it is. I think that most people think coaching is people either with a program, like a just a cookie cutter approach, or we're telling people what to do.
Yeah.
You're like, here's how you live your life. Yeah. We know better than you.
Well, that's you actually say it really well when you talk about the different types of coaching.
Oh, right. So, different types, informational. So that's somebody, and there's use for all this. It's just in different spots. Informational. So basically someone reads 10 books and summarizes them for you or teaches you how to accomplish a skill.
Yep.
You know, that's what like a hockey coach would do, for example.
Yeah.
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 And then, there's inspirational. It's kind of like, hey, you can do it. Or actually, no,
look what I did.
And you can
look
do
what
it
I
too.
Did and you can do it too.
I climbed the mountain, you can too.
Yeah.
Motivational, which is like Tony Robbins, that's the you can do it.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself and all that stuff. And there's
personal like fitness coaches or motivational?
Yeah, a little bit of information. Well, informational. Like our guy Marcus McKay, who's the best in North America. He's a little bit of all of it, but like informational for sure, because he teaches people how to do things. Inspirational because he actually does it.
Yeah.
And motivational. He also cusps on what we do, which is transformational.
Yeah.
And I always think like to define as transformational coaching isn't telling people what to do for us. It's where to do it from.
Yeah.
Helping point. And then our coach says that this kind of coaching is pointing people to the truth of who they are.
Yeah.
And so that they can change their lives. People come to us and say, oh, I'm broken. I'm like, well, you're not.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, I am. I'm like, well, I'll argue with this, but history says that I'll end up winning this weird argument where you think you're not enough and broken and you're not. And so, but yeah, coaching is such a generic term. And we certainly qualify under the transformational coaching because we help people
create that transformation.
We help
for
them
themselves.
See it themselves. Yeah. And understand, what a tool. I remember one time I had a client call me. He said, I've been referred to you. I don't know why I would hire you. I've probably read every book you have. And I was like, probably more. And this guy's an avid reader. And even though I am as well, it was kind of his thing. And I said, and when you understand what's out there, it's like, I realized, you've read a lot of books, but you've looked under he's like, I've looked under every rock. I said, you've looked under the same rock from every angle. This is a different rock.
Yeah.
Which kind of is a great segue into a number of things. I mean, when people say, well, what do you do? We always have a hard time describing it, but that's always because we're really afraid to say what it really is. And this will be maybe one of the first times we really say it. It's a cult.
No, it's a cult. and there's Kool-Aid in these mugs.
Yeah. What we're really helping people understand is psychology has failed.
Yeah.
Most books, which we'll talk about a little bit later, most books kind of realm under the concept of think differently,
yep.
Be positive,
Yeah.
All that kind of, and a lot of other coaches are kind of like armchair psychotherapists where they're trying to help people
change their thinking
and understand how their brain works.
Yeah.
And then
the neuroscience behind it.
Yeah.
And Einstein brain chemicals and
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yep. Einstein quote we love is, and this is paraphrasing, it's like, you know, you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that
created it. Yeah.
Which we always think you can't fix your brain with your brain.
With your brain, because your brain is broken.
If it's already has an issue or it's not broken, it's working that way now. I used to think not with your broken brain. I used to say that. I was like, but it's a risk manager. It's doing its job.
Yeah. Yeah. It's meant to keep you alive and keep you safe. And that's not always necessary in certain situations,
especially in today's modern world.
Yeah. Sure.
Technology has advanced faster than our brain has, even our brain.
So then I guess it comes down to is the thing that we mention a lot, you hear us mention a lot, maybe we define that a little bit more in this conversation, is the truth of who you are.
Right. And so, you know, what are we really pointing at?
What are we really pointing at? We're really pointing at is the spiritual part of you. That's the part of you that is the real you. And we have a hard time saying that it's, you know, because it sounds very woo-woo when you say it's spirituality. Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, it really is what it is. We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
I always have a hard time with it because of my journey. It's like I started off part of a church.
Yeah.
A popular church. Rhymes with Borman. I'm not here to say anything bad about people who go to church or anything like that. It's not about that. It's just that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, my son loves rainbows and doesn't understand that, like, pride has kind of overtaken the concept of rainbow. Well, for most places, spirituality has kind of been obsessed by religion.
Yeah, when you mention spirituality, a lot of people go right to religion.
Yeah. There's a lot of judgment on that. But I remind people that exact thing. It's like Stephen Covey came up with this whole person paradigm. It's like the body, mind, heart, and spirit. And I ask people, that thing right there. Yeah. Underneath of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, where do you go to you know, work on the body? So maybe you exercise, you eat right, you get that information, whatever. You train. Where do you go to exercise your mind? Well, maybe you listen to TED Talks or listen to books or read or go to school. Or and go to the library, even like where do you go to exercise your heart? And he means it in the sense of passion. So maybe you give to charity, or you spend time with your loved ones, or listen to comedy.
Yep.
But where do you go to exercise the concept of spirit, the core of what we are? So a lot of words we say spirit, but it's also used words like consciousness, awareness. And so what we really help people do is have a spiritual awakening, but we don't do it in a way that's like,
well, and I think there's very heady spiritual words. Awakening out there where the idea of spiritual awakening where it's like, you know, this, it gets very psychological, right? Where it's like, it's very, woo woo and
it's out there.
And it's out there. And it's out there.
The spirituality is out there.
Yeah.
It's a thing I do. I feel spiritual when I meditate or I do yoga and sure that can access and help you understand why this works. But I remember that time where I got pulled in to speak to a woman who had her master's in ministry.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going into, tell her about this concept of spirituality, and she's gonna look at me like, duh. But I remember speaking to her and just said, I'm just gonna do my thing. I just, you know, as always, remove identity, go in, do what it is, and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I start sharing it there, and I just see her jaw drop. And I said, what just occurred for you? And she said, I think you're teaching about spirituality for the first time. And I was like, yeah, me too. And that's okay. Let's move it. And the unfolding, everyone. Because we think it's out there and we don't realize it is us. And that's what we're pointing people to.
Yeah.
And I remember when we first learned this, I was like, this is crazy. Even when we have people sign up, I'm like, they're going, oh, I'm going to talk to my wife or my husband about, you know, this thing, and which I love because often they will work with this. And I like when everyone's in the same language, the same page of understanding. But I'm like, do you want me to have a conversation with you? I'm like, well, why? I was like, you're going to go home. I met a guy that told me there's an invisible power inside me that's going to change my life. It's like, it sounds crazy.
It does. It's really hard to explain. I mean,
that's why we've avoided doing this. We're going to get on and like,
it's true.
It's one thing that part of the conversation. Let's put it out there.
Yeah. One of the things, for me, when I first really understood it, or started to understand it and apply it in my life, it was almost like I demonized my identity. Like I demonize the physical part of me.
Right. Yeah.
And that thinking part of me as if like, well, it doesn't matter. It's not who I am anyways. I am the spirit. I am, you know, I am this part of me that's the innate intelligence and neglected and just started to neglect that. And then I realized how important it is to have that, you know, synchronistic, harmonious relationship with your identity and with your physical being, because it's how you experience this world.
Right? Yeah. I found that out this year, actually, for the first time with clarity, when I was working so much and starting to get a little grumpy. And I was like, what's going on? Because my life is great. And it was really the neglecting of sleep and it was,
you're not taking care of the ego,
the house of the ego, which is the brain. And it's so funny, you know, so how it isn't, because I want to tell people it's a balance. It's not a balance. It's like take care of the vessel.
Yeah.
But come, so all things I do physically, it's like, yeah, eat healthy, all that. That's important because it's the vessel for this experience of energy. However, all things relationship wise and myself and others comes
from. I actually heard a really good thing the other day that was, it's not about balance, it's about harmony.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. I've never heard that before. That's really
perfect. Yeah. I meant to share that with you. And I thought instead of trying to create a balance between the two, it's about living in harmony with both of them and knowing that they both have important roles to play.
That's a great, and that's where I love that because that's where that's so much clarity because early on I was really struggling with even letting, you know, I think the body's like, this is my time and I only get like maybe 80 years most and you don't want to hog all this experience, but it doesn't know how to experience. And when you feel enlightenment, people are going to go, why do I feel this way? And they want to give an excuse to something like, oh, it's because it's a sunny day or it's because.
Yeah. They want to put it out there. Right.
They don't recognize it, you know, it's not the thing that created that. It's you.
Yeah.
And that's what spirituality is just bringing awareness to what you are after thinking, when thinking isn't occurring.
Yeah. That when that feeling occurs for you, when it shows up, that it's not the outside stimulus that created it. It's you allowing yourself to be in that moment and to be present to the presence that you really are.
Why do you think people aren't getting this? And like we've done this because we had a chat about, but why do you think people aren't getting it outside of a conversation with us or other? Because it's this, we say all the time, there's a lot of famous people that like touch on it.
Yeah.
Like they're dancing around it too. Or they just don't know. Like Michael Neal's.
Well, I think it's very much like we've had that experience together where it, you know, when spirit shows up, when we feel that moment of being in the truth of who you are, and we try to bring attention to it, it just like starts to fade immediately, right?
Because you can't be in your mind and in your
it's grasping it. Like I say, it's like trying to hold a rope that's soaked in oil, right? Like you're just like gripping it and it's like slipping through your hands.
There you go. That sounds like a fun game for New Year's Eve. So when it's true, the brain can only with its five senses look outwards.
Yeah.
And so it can't look within. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, why? You know, my five senses.
And so it's and it wants to try and find reasons.
Yeah. Why am I happy? What's going on here? And it's true. I'm the worst of that when we're in a group and I'm like, I feel that we're all connected in this moment. I'm like, you guys feel that? No, not anymore. You know, it's like, we're trying to bottle lighting. It's fine. The whole, there's so much going on, but why can't people just watch a YouTube video or watch a TED talk or read a book? Like why? Because everyone's reading. We have people around us who are like, it's the next book. It's the next book.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I think we said that a few times, but it's to me, what I would say is it comes down to that's all information.
Right.
You know, and it's all information and it's really great to try and grasp as a concept. But really and that's why we explain to people, it's really about spending time in it and learning to experience it. And that's where having a coach that has this understanding is so beneficial.
I always think it sounds salesy, but
it does sound, I know. And it does. And that's the hard part. It took me a while to really get over, you know, saying that whole line of it, having to spend time with a coach who has this understanding, because it does sound salesy, but it really is what it is. You really have to spend time in it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We did that. I mean, that's why we received this. It's funny because Michael Neal is a perfect example. He wrote a book, Super Coach, which we enjoy.
Yeah.
He wrote it. And then 10 year anniversary, he realized it was missing a spiritual component and rewrote it.
Yeah.
And it made a big difference. And he even talks about it in his TED talk. He said he went to a guru and he was like, how do you help people?
Yeah.
And the guru said, there's something awake inside of me that's asleep in many people.
Yep.
And the more that people spend time with me and through traditional practices and extra things that we talk about,
yep,
not by will, but by grace, that thing tends to waken them.
Yeah.
And the more time, the more it wakes. And I thought that's really what coaching is.
Yep.
That's a great, that was the first time. And that kind of talks about the outcome. I always thought, you know, for us coaching, we've talked about it this way. I love the way we look at it different ways. We used to talk about it like climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
And being a Sherpa.
Yep. And guiding you up the mountain. It's not about being up in the mountain being like, hey, the top's up here.
Yeah.
But it's about, we know the path. We've been there.
Yep.
And you say it too. Like, we're not going to make you do it. Sorry, how am I saying this wrong? If we notice that you're walking past the same tree over and over again, if we're walking in circles, you know, we're going to point out, hey, by the way, we've walked around that tree. Yeah. Do you notice this tree? We passed this before. This same thing keeps occurring. And that's kind of, I think that's the feedback both of us get is like, we're really good at calling them out on that. And that's part of being a coach is like being able to say, hey, mm-hmm. let's take a second and look at this from the perspective of the observer.
And people are afraid because they think people say it feels like therapy. We're not therapists.
Yeah.
We're very clear. We're not therapists. I don't want to be a therapist. Therapist is a very, unique role. And we hope that people have tried stuff. A lot of people come to us after they tried therapy or other methods. I was in that space. So I tried with therapy. It didn't work for me permanently. It felt a little bit better. And everything I tried felt a little bit better. But nothing really
not sustainable.
Until this understanding that we stumbled upon through Andrew and his experience of having a near death experience. And if you haven't, by the way, our coach has a podcast called People Who Suffer.
Yeah,
I strongly recommend you listen to it. It's incredible. He has like 21 episodes or something.
Yeah.
That can be found through Apple and just search
Spotify. All the podcasts.
Just search People Who Suffer. Andrew McKee. Just put Andrew People Suffer. You'll find there's only one podcast like his, and start from the beginning. Enjoy episode 11, and I can't remember the other episode of those ones I'm on. but jokes aside, he really tells his story about this, how it occurred and what it's been doing and what it did for me. It's like, and for you. And,
yeah.
And so, coaching people are always afraid because they think they're going to have to bare their soul. And I always tell clients, we're not going to spend that much time talking about the past either.
No.
Past is like opening Pandora's box. You recommit to the pain.
Which is why therapy gets it wrong and why people will stay there for 20 years and never get the results they're looking for. They just
keep going back and back. And they're given strategies that are like Band-Aids. And then the Band-Aids ripped off and the wound is poked again. And you're like, how is this healing? And so some people it works for, like I said, good for you. But I tried that. I tried I went to church. I tried going to different churches, a bunch of different ones. And I also tried self-help big time, went to Tony Robbins. We've hired Mary Williamson. We've, Gary John Bishop, we've seen speak. And I the list is Rachel Hall. We just keep going. All the thought leaders that I thought would be beneficial. And I just, nothing stuck until this understanding. And so for us coaching, it comes in two ways. The first way is it makes you feel good. And we love when that happens. But the second way I'm really good at, and where this is changing our practice, it's going to make you mad. And it's not because we say something mean. It's because we're trying to point out something that's getting in the way of the happiness you want. And people sometimes cling to it. And I said the other day, I was like, we're trying to help someone. And I said, there's a big difference between trying something like we were trying it and it doesn't work, failing, it doesn't work, versus clinging onto something that's not working because you believe this is the way. It has to work this way. And if it doesn't work this way, and I just, that's the part for me that I find not the most frustrating because there's no judgment, but it's just like, it's hard to watch them suffer and be like, if you put down that way, maybe there'd be something else for you. And are you open to the possibility that maybe you're not broken? Maybe there's not a label.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have anxiety. You're creating it through your thinking. Maybe the reason you're feeling depressed is because there's a bigger issue you're avoiding and you could be understanding. Because all those emotions we're not against emotions.
Nope.
Have emotions.
Yeah. Emotions are a part of this physical experience. You're still going to experience your emotions. It's just, what's your attachment to them and do they become a part of your identity? Do they become a part of your experience and your personality? Is that your everyday life? I've seen that so many times. It did it for me. Anger became a part of my personality. It was something I frequented so often that it was like, it became what I was. I was just angry.
And you say, I'm an angry person rather than I'm experiencing anger and I cannot experience it in a healthy way. I find that with a lot of the healing stuff, it's like everything is about looking at what's wrong with you rather than looking what's right.
Yeah.
And there's a time and a place to understand like, oh, I made some mistakes and I need to forgive myself and I need to forgive others for being as human as me. And then let's What do we want to create from here?
Yeah.
What do you want to create? There's so much opportunity to create for you that if you understood the real opportunity, take a look at our, I love our testimonies and I love the story of that. I mean, if people look at our reviews on Google, I love that people write their experience.
Yeah, but it's not, it's not just inflating our egos. It's
no, it's not, it's like Morgan Andrew, great coaches.
Yeah, it's just, this is my experience. This is this, I spent time with in this understanding, and this is what the experience was like for me beforehand, and this is what it's like now.
I remember when I first started, this is like really early, maybe even before you came on into the company. It was like, I had a couple of young guys that I really respect and love, and they were met me at a network event, and I told them about this idea. This is like when it was just a seed.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that's neat. And they were really like interested in it. And then I got a call and they said, we want to do some work for you for free. And I was like, why? Because we read your testimonies. And like, so? Like, I mean, lots of companies, they say, they said, no, Morgan, they're not talking just like you're a great coach. They're saying their lives are transforming and how, and there's just something there. And I was so appreciative of that insight. And again, over and over, people are coming to us and saying like, this is lasting. That's another thing. That it's lasting. So, I mean, I want people to realize like people are so afraid of coaching because they're so afraid. Like, you know, it's, I'm like, it's, it actually is painless. Most people, when they come in, number one thing we get is, oh, this is what I expected.
Yeah.
It's not what I expected.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, because people come in with this, I don't know what the expectation is.
Me either.
I always, you know, I always like to ask people, well, what do you think it is? Well, I don't really know.
Yeah. But whatever it is, I'm afraid. Well, there you go. What is that your opinion? That's so true.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. And then once you, once you take them through a first meeting, people are like, oh.
Yeah. We're very lucky we get to do what we do. And I never want people to think we're gurus or we're perfect. I try to tell our clients all the time how messed up of a human that I was and that we, and that we kind of figured out not how to be a perfect human, but just what this experience is all about.
Yeah.
Just, you know, what's the purpose of
found with that? Well, that's, I think that's really honestly, and it sounds maybe a little arrogant or something, but it's almost like we've discovered the purpose of life. The purpose of life is
to experience being alive.
Yeah.
The passage of time is like,
the passage of time. Enjoying the passage of time, and you get to create what you want in this life.
Yeah.
You can make it whatever you want it to be and really enjoy your life and do it from a place of, you know, not trying so hard.
It's so true. Yeah. So I understand. Here's another thing I want to address while we have some time left in our podcast is that, it is super frustrating to see how much stuff is out there that is telling people the wrong thing.
Yeah.
We won't get into some of the, I mean,
but that could be another podcast. We could do an entire podcast on that, I think.
But I just want people, and I just want to just in this one mention that we know there's a lot of stuff out there that is misleading and they don't realize it because it feels good to satiate your identity to be like, oh, there's toxic people or there's narcissist is becoming just a popular word.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have any meaning. And then all those things about, you know, creating boundaries, which is really about judgment. And so all that stuff, or even abundance, the concept of abundance, which is a fancy word for greed, all that stuff that's out there is really misleading into what it is. And that's all self-help perpetuating itself to make more money.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing. We could trash and speak that for a lot of people, psychology isn't fit. Well, so does self-help.
Yeah.
If it was working, same sort of thing.
Yeah, we wouldn't have the issues we're seeing today.
So that's why we're black sheep thinking. We think the white sheep are in that area where it's like, you know, if everyone else is doing it, just ask yourself, why isn't it working?
Yep.
You know, if medication and self-help and therapy is working, why are we the most suicidal medicated society of all time? We are witnessing clients get rid of their medication, overcome all their issues, not be suicidal. And our batting average is really high. So we can't prove, you know, the what we do works, but there's a lot of evidence. And I'd also say, the most important thing is that it sticks.
It does.
And people are coming back and saying, this is working. It sticks. And the last thing I want to say, which Andrew McKee says, is it's not that we have the only way.
Nope.
But two things. One is there are, this will help you understand why other things kind of work.
Yeah. Like why I was just going to say that. Like when I went through trying like breath work and ice baths and meditation, and it would work for a fleeting moment. It would never be sustainable. But there was a moment in that process where it worked and I felt the relief. Mm-hmm. And this understanding helped me realize what that was. And what that was my thinking settled and a different part of me showed up in that moment.
Right.
And I wasn't engaged in my thinking and I was allowing the truth of who I am to show up.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I'd also say one thing is like, there are a lot, like, for example, we live Eastern Ontario. I can get to Toronto by going west is the fastest. I can also get to Toronto from where I live by going east, but I have to go all around the globe.
Yeah.
And so this is the most efficient route we've seen. And we actually do things like we've done Reiki training. We've done Wim Hof breath and ice bath stuff and lights, all that stuff. We've done CBT stuff. We've done NLP stuff. We've done coaching with other. We are always looking to see if what we're offering is the most efficient path. And so far, unless, and I'm willing to hear something else.
Absolutely.
But so far,
absolutely.
All roads lead back to this part inside of you that will know all things and heal when you start to understand that you can settle this, not by forcing it, but by just being and allowing this to occur for you and starting to listen to the truth of who you are.
Yeah. And to be clear, I want to be clear that we're not trashing all of those things, but we are saying they're not as efficient and they're not as sustainable. It doesn't mean they're not good and that they don't have some benefits.
Right.
They definitely do. Like, I still love my ice baths. I still love to do a bit of breath work. I still love to do some ice baths. And meditation's great.
Something is better than nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, we're just happy you're searching for something. And if you're not finding what you need, we'd love to talk to you about what we've discovered and see if that makes a difference for you too.
Yep.
I think that's probably all we can share for coaching in our time we have today.
Yep. But yeah. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and our YouTube channel. And if you want to know more, if you want to engage in conversation, comment, and we'd love to chat.
Thanks for coming.
See you next time.